For if Abraham were justified by works, he would have whereof to glory, to boast, to brag, but not before God. So God has decided that we should be holy because he is holy. So God, being holy, holy God, holy God, wants us also to be holy. And he's put out two ways. Plan A is for us to obey. So plan A is based upon the knowledge of God, which the world calls theos or thios. And thios means knowing God wants us to obey and become like him. That is, become outwardly like God. So you have to be good because God is good. So that's thios. But there's another way to please the Lord and to be made holy, and that is through theos. The only difference is the I. Theos, that's plan B. So plan B is for those that can't make plan A. There, if you're not able to obey God, then you can have faith in God. Now, if Abraham were justified by his works under the law, so here's obey, do the works of the law. Do the works of the law. So here, and be perfect. Be holy. Exactly. Did I do that right? No. Perfect. That's not perfect. Perfect means to be holy exactly as God is holy. Holy as he is holy. Now, however God is holy, you have to be holy exactly the same. And then you earn a reward. You earn a wage. You earn a reward of eternal life. And that pleases God. You earn a reward or a wage. Now, if you sin and mess up, then you don't get the wage of eternal life, but you get death, and you're cut off from God forever. So here's one way to go, plan A, based upon an outward understanding of God, theos, under the law, be perfect. If Abraham were perfect under the law, if he did everything right, if he never sinned, if everything that God told him to do, he did, then Abraham would get the reward. So that's called God has obligated himself. So here, under this plan, plan A, you get God to be obligated. So God, if you obey, then God is obligated to save you. He's obligated to give you the reward, to pay the wage. So your obedience makes God obligated. But if you can't do it that way, as Abraham didn't do it that way. Abraham wasn't perfect. If he were, he'd get a reward. But if he wasn't perfect, he had to go this other way. So he's called the father of faith. This is for those that are ungodly. This is for those that are disobedient. This is for those that failed plan A. Disobedient. Ungodly. Not pious. Impious. Not moral. Immoral. This is for those that are unjust. Unjust. So here, if you're in this group and you flunked that way of God, that plan, plan A, then you have to revert down here to plan B. And here, instead of the works of the law, it's believing God, believing in His mercy, believing in His mercy, and taking a free gift, taking a free gift, undeserved, not deserved, not merited, not merited, not deserved. You actually have to be undeserving, undeserving, because you didn't do plan A. So this one causes some humility, because here I'm doing it. I'm doing a good word, and I do whatever the law says, and because I'm perfect in it, then I'm made holy. So holy God, holy me. But that's under plan A. Under plan B, I get this. I'm holy if I don't keep His law, and I believe in His mercy that Jesus kept the law for me. So here, instead of me dying up here if I do wrong, Jesus dies for me, and then I get a free gift. Now, this is God's word. This is God's offer. You have to be evil to get plan B. In other words, plan A is what God wanted everyone to do. So it seems. So it seems. So this is plan A. Here's A. And this is plan B down here. And it seems like this is for losers. This is for people who are unable to go that way. But actually, plan B is plan A. So plan A is what He tells us. Keep the law. But plan B is what He really wanted. Don't keep the law. Now, if you don't keep the law, and you're ungodly, and you're disobedient, and you're rebellious, that actually is what God intended from the beginning of the world. Before He even created the world, He did not want anyone to keep the law. Bye, everybody. And so God is looking for people that are sinners. You remember Jesus said, I came not for plan A, righteous. I came not for the righteous. I only came for sinners. So you have to be, in order to get into plan B, you have to be a sinner. I feel several of you are qualifying. I feel several of you are going to make it. Because God never wanted anyone to do plan A except one. His Son, Jesus Christ, who came up with plan B, which turns out to be plan A. The only one that has ever kept God's law under plan A was Jesus, who didn't do it for Himself, so He didn't even earn the wage. He just did it freely for no wage at all. And He wanted you and I not to get a wage, but to take a free gift. So the Father said, because you have done that, I don't give you a wage. But I will grant the free gift to those for whom you lived and died. And so plan B was actually plan A. From the foundation of the world, in God's heart, He never wanted anyone to earn it, or to be good, or to be nice, or to be holy, or to be anything under plan A. He wanted to block that door off, that only one would go through that door. And, as I told you, even Jesus didn't go through the door under the law. He went in the door under the law for you, but not for Himself. So that you would be reckoned, or counted, or imputed to be righteous under plan B. Because when He looked at your account, He saw that there was something missing. And He said, I noticed this doesn't add up. I've asked you under plan A to be perfect. I've noticed you're not. I notice that you have a debt here that you haven't paid. But I'm going to reckon it in my own mind. I'm going to count it, if you will, not approach me under plan A from which you failed, and allow me to fill up your account under plan B by faith rather than by works. Will you allow me to do that? If you believe, then I will call you holy, even though you did not deserve it under plan A. And you were not holy under plan A. You were ungodly. You actually did everything I told you not to do, and you did nothing of what I told you to do. And you deserved hell. You deserved death. You deserved being cut off. But because you believed on my son Jesus, who died for you, who lived for you, who did everything for you, and you believe that, I'll give you then, I'll reckon you, I'll account it to your account, though otherwise you totally failed, I'll account that as perfect. So I'm going to impute to you, account to you, reckon to you, look at your books, and in my own mind, I'm going to value something that doesn't show up on your accounting. When you make an accounting, you add up numbers. And you say, has this person done every law, every statute, every commandment that I told them to do? And if not, you come up with a debt or short, and you fall short of the glory of God. Now, if that's your case, then Jesus says, I'll tell you what, Father, I'll keep a perfect account, but what I want is for you to account them who didn't do it right. Take what I've done, give it to them, let my work be for them. My voluntary love to you, let that be for them. Let it be at my sacrifice. Go ahead, destroy me, don't destroy them. Don't give them what they deserve. Love them because they don't deserve it. And count that as righteousness if they believe on me. Now, that accounting is, in the Greek language, logizomai. It means to logically, logids, it means logic, think. God is thinking in his mind, usually under the law, we don't value faith. Under the law, we value only obedience. But I'm going to account for you, through your faith, that you are just as righteous as the man who obeyed, even though you never obeyed and don't deserve to be set free. I'm going to count it that way. So in his mind, God made up plan B to help those who failed plan A. So you couldn't get in by works, but you can get in wholly by faith. And so he logically, in his mind, said, I know what the problem is. By works, they failed. But by faith, I'll reckon that in place of the fact they failed by works. So you must fail plan A in order to get the benefit of plan B. You know, in any contract, it'll often say, do thus and so and thus and so, and then you get this. However, if that doesn't happen, then here's another plan, another option that you can take. So this second option turns out to actually be his first option. He never wanted you to obey. God never, ever gave a law that you should obey. Now, I want you to say that because it's gonna ruin your mind right now. I'm going to ruin your mind, and I want you to say it, and then when I read the scripture, you'll understand it. God didn't want me to obey him under his law. He wanted me to disobey. So that hurts your mind. He wanted me to disobey and to confess my sin and take his mercy so that I would get his grace. That goes against your mind. No human mind can grasp what I just said. If God is holy and he wants you to be holy, then why isn't plan A what he wanted? He never wanted you to keep the law. He never gave the law that you would keep. He gave the law that Jesus would keep. He gave the law that only one man would keep it, Jesus. Only one man would gain the prize, Jesus. Only one man would be worthy of the gain, of the wage, of the benefit or reward. However, Jesus didn't do it to gain a reward. He did it for you. He came under the law to show you that the law was good, but it wasn't good for you. So he kept the law for you, not for himself. Therefore, Jesus didn't keep the law to get a reward. Jesus kept the law for no reason at all, just because he wants to please the Father. And said, Father, that's what you wanted them to do? No, you didn't really want them to do that. You wanted them to fail. So what I'm going to do is show that the law you gave was good, because it basically said, be like God. But not just like God outwardly, like God inwardly. Therefore, your heart was always knowing ahead of time, not making man sin, but knowing that he would sin. Your law was not God. See, God didn't make you sin. But he said to you, don't sin, knowing that you would sin, because he knows everything. He didn't make you sin. It's not like the Calvinist teaching that said, you couldn't even decide. No, you could have decided, you just didn't. And nobody ever did, except Jesus. And that was to prove that. That was to prove to you, oh no, Jesus actually did the law. If you want to go in through plan A, Jesus did it. But plan A was never for you. That was for your benefit to look at the law so that you would realize, I can't keep it. I'm unrighteous. I'm ungodly. And he said, then I'm going to define God this way. Not as God who justifies the godly, but God justifies the ungodly. Plan B. That's the God that Jesus revealed. That was a mystery to the Jewish people, and is still a mystery today to the pagans, to the heathen, to the natural man, to the intelligent, to the God-fearing, to those that are hoping to be godly. And he said, I never wanted anyone to do it that way. I always wanted you. I always wanted you. I always wanted you to acknowledge your sin, say, I did it. I sinned. Therefore, I'm going to try plan B. And that's what I always wanted you to do, he said. Now, I want to illustrate that before I get into the scripture. When I raised my children, four children, when I raised my children, I raised them under the law, plan A. But plan A was never my plan. It was always plan B. So I raised them so that they would fail. I deliberately made impossible demands upon them. And I meant it as far as they knew. They never understood that I didn't mean it. I meant it. Meaning, this is the right thing to do. Be perfect. Do everything you're told. Don't ever disobey. And I put sternness in my voice. I let them think, Dad is serious. And I even spanked them. So they knew, Dad is serious. Now, but I never meant it. Never. Not for a moment. Now you have to understand, I'm not just saying this. This is the way I actually raised my children until they were 10 or 11 or 12. After that, they learned another way. But I said, you know, I want you to do it this way. And, you know, I knew they'd disobey. We left home one time, and Kirsten was left in charge at home. She's the second oldest. Kirsten, while we're gone, I want you to take care of the house. Yes, Dad. Very good. Good daughter. And I don't want you to have any people over or anything like that. And certainly no parties or anything like that. Just you stay in the house here. David's going to be here. Watch over David. And I don't want to see any bad TV and so on and so forth. No problem, Dad. I will do it. Good girl. She was old enough to, she was, you know, 12 or 13 or 14 or whatever she was. Oh, yeah, she was in college. She was already in college. So, whatever it was. Anyway, but David was there watching. See, he was there. So how old is David?
He's 30 now. He was 4 years younger.
4 years younger. Anyway, so your brother, I want you to take care of him, and I don't want any bad stuff happening. So will you do that? Yes, I will, Dad. Very good. Then as we're driving up from our week-long, or 2 weeks, whatever, we were gone. As we're driving up, Peg notices something from the top of the hill as we're driving up. And with eyes in the back of her head, and with a intuitive sense, she says, something is wrong. I said, what's wrong? Look. And I look and I see Kirsten carrying the garbage out. I said, what's wrong with that? It's wonderful. She knows we're coming home. She's cleaned the house. And hallelujah. Something is wrong. She never carries the garbage out. I said, what are you talking about? something is wrong. So we get out of the car. Kirsten's back in the house. She didn't see us coming. Kirsten's back in the house. And Piggy opens the garbage. And she starts going through the whole thing all the way to the bottom, and she finds a bottle cap. And it has beer written on it. And being that's against the law, you're not supposed to do that. She said, you see, I think she actually found several items that would be evidence of something amiss. And I said, well, I don't think one cap says anything. It says something. Okay, well, it says something. Peg, I think it'd be helpful if you didn't talk. Because you're not, I don't think you're in a good mood right now. Because Peg has a fierceness to her that says, if you don't keep the law, you're finished. So she was angry that we had given a law, trusted Kirsten, and now Kirsten broke that trust, broke that. She did not keep the law at all. So under plan A, Kirsten's guilty. So I said, well, honey, I want to just give me a few minutes to talk to her. So I walked in the door and I said, hey, hallelujah. Kirsten, how was it? Fine, Dad. Great. Praise God. Not at all mentioning the evidence that Peggy is gripping tightly in her hand. I said, you know, did you have a good week? We did. Or whatever the thing was. And David okay? Yep, everything's fine. Oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm incredibly proud of you. You know, we put our faith in you and our trust in you, and everything went just the way it was supposed to. You can't imagine the joy. You cannot imagine the joy in our hearts. I am a little naughty. But you see, I'm so excited that she's breaking the law that I get to show mercy. Do you understand? I'm like God. I know this is difficult for you to grasp, but this is the way to raise kids. I was waiting for the day she'd break the law. I wanted her to break the law. I didn't want her ever to keep the law. I wanted her to be her. So I said to her, Kirsten, now did everything go right? I mean, nothing went wrong, right? No, Dad. I gave her a chance to lie, clearly lie. Says it's a trap. I'm setting her up. So I go, I walk away, and then I come back and I say, by the way, you didn't have anybody over. No. Another strong lie. Strong lie. Okay, that's cool. Boy, you are a blessing. Thank you, Lord. I give thanks to God. And I just went, and then I turned around and I said, and you sure you didn't have anybody? And then her face began to freeze up. And she said, well, I had a couple of kids come in, but, you know, they didn't stay. Oh, good. That's nothing. That's no problem. They just came in for a few minutes. Like, they didn't stay, though, did they? Well, they maybe stayed a little bit, but not too long. Well, I mean, you didn't do anything wrong. I mean, they didn't come in because we told you not to have a party. And you didn't have a party, like, did you? No. Well, I want to tell you something right now, because I want you to be completely truthful with me here, because I'm totally trusting you. Mom found something in the garbage out there, a little evidence of something, and I know there's an explanation for it. You want to talk about that? Okay, Dad. All right. We had a party, and, you know, we had a lot of girls over, and so on. So, do you want to tell me everything? Yes, we had beer, too, and we did. I didn't have any, Dad. It's the other girls had it. I couldn't stop them, and David didn't take any either. So, you see, her confession, which I didn't nail her, see, I allowed her to lie over and over again, just like Adam did. Remember Adam and Eve? Remember how when he caught them? Remember how they were hiding behind that tree? Get back, Eve. He's looking. He's looking over here. God has eyes that see right around trees. Just like Peg. God has eyes that can see under the tree, through the tree, above the tree. He can see everything, and he can see all inside what you're really thinking and doing. And Peggy had that suspicion. I was completely, you know, I didn't think anything. I just thought it's great that she took the garbage out. But Peg knew at the moment we turned the corner and started down that hill, she already knew what was going on. That is amazing to me. How wives could figure that. Isn't that amazing? But Peggy has this vicious idea that you have to keep plan A or get punished. I mean, I would cut them off, you see. And I had the idea, no, I want them to sin, and I'll look forward to that day when they say to me, Dad, I did everything wrong. I want mercy. I want you to give me mercy because I know you love me. That's all I wanted. So I'd trained them from the time they were little to any time they deserved a spanking, I might give them one, but I might offer them mercy. Now, you kids, here's a choice you get. Do you want me to spank you because of what you've just done, or would you like to have mercy? And you get to choose. Oh, mercy, Dad. Really? You don't want the spanking you deserve? Because you might do it again. I won't, Dad. I swear. Wow. Okay. Well, okay. Then there's no need for me to spank you. Correct? Correct, Dad. Correct. Okay. Now, you see, I'm instructing them in the law. The law is good. They shouldn't be doing wrong. But I'm also instructing them that there's mercy in case you do wrong. You always come to me and tell me everything that you've done, and then I'll give you mercy. Well, they weren't so forthcoming when they did wrong. Right? But all little kids are like this. Every little kid that's ever been born in the world will do wrong. You give them a law, you tell them, no, don't touch that. Don't touch that. I'm putting that on the little coffee table here, and don't you pick that up. And I don't care who that little kid is, they're going to look at that thing and want to pick it up. Especially when they're real little. They're like 2 and 3, 4, like that. And they'll just see that thing sitting there. And they'll look at it. And then they'll look around to see if you're there. And if you're not there, they'll pick it up. And they'll put it in their mouth and then so on. Because little kids don't obey the law. They feel if you tell them no, that means I want to. And, you know, if you'd have said something else, they'd have done that. But they just want to know. They're curious. And they want to taste it and smell it and get it and hold it and keep it. That is your sister's. Do not touch that. And then immediately they want to do it. Have you ever noticed that about the law? When you tell them the law, don't do this, that actually makes them want to. It brings out their evil, that plan A never works. You ever notice that? Now, after they're 12, my kids had a different thing. Is, you know, they knew now the mercy of God and so on. And I gave Kirsten the chance to prove, you want to have performance, you fail. But you want to have relationship, then fess up. Under performance, plan A, you're a failure, but under relationship, plan B, I still want to have a relationship of trust with you, even though you messed up, and here's the trust. Dad, I did wrong. I don't need you to quiz me, catch me, trap me. I just confess to you right away. So, when our youngest daughter banged up the third car, I remember the second one. I remember the first one. Dad, it was raining. Yeah, but you said if I gave you a driver's license and allowed you to drive, you wouldn't have an accident like the other kids who all banged up two cars each. And then we have to pay for all that. I know, Dad, but it was raining. No. You shouldn't drive if you don't know about rain. You said you were mature. You said you could handle that. And now you have cost us a lot of money. Do you see plan A at work? I want her to feel guilty. I want her to say to me, it wasn't the rain, it was me. But she didn't say it, so I told her, you know, Margaret, when you drive a car, you are totally responsible. And if you're not, you're a juvenile, then you don't drive. You get that? Hard. Well, Dad, I will do right from now on, even if it rains. Okay, so I should trust you? Yes, Dad. I don't know why she knew how to negotiate. She had in mind, you know, I'm going to drive no matter what. So she was negotiating very, very good, cleverly. So the next time she had the accident, she said this, Dad, okay, all right, I did wrong. Well, very good. You're owning up to it. What'd you do? Another accident. This time, I didn't do right. I wasn't paying attention. I was, you know, fixing my shoe on the floor, whatever it was, you know, doing something or other, talking to a girlfriend or something. That's evil. That's awful. No mercy. Even Dad, you said if I confessed it, you would show mercy. Did I say that? Yes, you did. Were you holding me to that? Yes, Dad. All right. Don't worry about it then. We'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. We'll fix the car. You'll get it back. Don't worry about it. But no more accidents. Promise? Promise, Dad. Next time I won't grab my shoe and all this stuff. I won't let I think the second time the engine burned up and she saw the red light and she thought, I probably should take care of this. But I'm going to just drive it, finish up what I'm doing, then I'll take care of it. That was a mistake again. So the third time, she came and she said, sit down, Dad. Sit down. I want to say something to you. Okay? What? Well, it's all my fault. What? What? Well, just wait. And I did it, and I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. What? The car. I crashed it up again. Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe you did that. You promised. You swore. You said you wouldn't. That's the law. Then she said to me, Dad, I said I did it. It was my fault. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm going to pay for it. I'm not asking you for anything. I just wanted you to know the truth. Wow. Are you hurt? No. It's just a piece of tin. Who cares about a car? Don't worry about it. How much money you got saved up? About $150. That will take you, let's calculate, 4 or 5 years to save up. Are you sure you can afford it while you're going to school and having a job and needing that money and trying to go out and have a full social life from 2 to 6 and so on? That could take some time. What about if I just pay for it? Oh, Dad, would you? Boom. Now, I was longing for the hour in the day that I could show mercy and not vengeance. Do you hear me? Because my heart is for my daughter. I don't care what she's done. I don't care how much she's misperformed. I love her. Same way in the marriage. I don't care how nasty Peg is. I don't care how undeserving she is of my love and attention. I don't care how much she weighs, how little she's cooked, how unconcerned she is when I'm hurting, and a little cockroach on the floor she'll feel sorry for, but me, I'll be laying in bed I'm not going to count any of that, and I'm going to love her as though she had been perfect when I know she isn't and doesn't deserve it because she wasn't perfect. Because I told her what to do and she didn't do it. For example, I felt when we got married that just simply being married to me was a great joy and should elicit from her happiness and joy all the time. For example, if I was to come in the house, this is literally true. If I was to come in the house, like the little kids, Daddy's home! I wanted that from Peg. Lord Jim, you're home! Oh, joy to the house! I don't know, that was always what I was expecting. Do you understand? Make the law high. So high that it's like this. Be ye holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. So high that no one can do it except the Son that says, I always do what's pleasing to him. So, when Peggy didn't respond the way I wanted, I want you up at 6, I'll be in bed, you'll have everything cooking, I can smell the food and so on, and you be up, get the house totally clean, and get the kids all, whatever. And then come and wake me up and I'll come to the breakfast table. That was what I wanted. Now, I would lie if I didn't say that. Actually, that would have pleased me. I had that picture in my head and I told it to her. And she never did it. I can't believe that. She never said, I said, Peg, don't you love me? Don't you want to do that? No. Oh. Well, I made a mistake then. The law is high. The law is high. It's narrow. truth is very narrow. But love is wide. Now, which is it? The law or love? Did I want just outward obedience? No. I wanted her to really rejoice, not just fake it. But I mean truly to be excited when I walked in the house. Hello! Here I am! The Lord of the house! I wanted, just like the little kids do. And now my grandkids are like that. Grandpa Jim! You know, and they just run up to you. Oh, Grandpa Jim, I love you. Now, those kids have it right. I tell you, that is great. I absolutely love that, you know, because they don't know me from a cake of soap. All they know is that picture in their house, and then one of my daughters will say, there's your Grandpa Jim. And it's just so great, because they just fall for that. They love that. And when I come, and they're thinking of coming, Grandpa Jim, and they just get so excited. You can see the excitement in them. Peggy's not like that. She's not like that. And I just feel she doesn't understand the law. She doesn't understand the law. Now, because she doesn't understand the law, we go to plan B, which is, you don't have to do a thing for me. I don't care how much you weigh. I don't care what you do with the house. I don't care if you cook the food or burn it. I don't care. Because you're my wife. And though you don't deserve it, I will give you the same love that I would have done if you were perfect. Now, that sets her free. Can you see how that would set her free? From the weight of the law, because listen to me carefully now, the law is not made for man. I mean, man is not made for the law. You aren't made to keep the law. The law was made to bless you. How? By exposing you, not by making you do what it has. The law was made for Jesus to do, not for you to do. Plan A was not for any human being. You were not intended ever. God never intended for you to keep that law. It was always plan B that he had in mind. Oh, I hope they fail in my law so that I can show them mercy and they'll put their faith in me and I can reckon it to them as righteousness. Then they'll keep the law and they don't have to. Because I'll be with them. I'll forgive them through my blood and I'll help them and empower them through my spirit. And they will have a relationship with me, not based on law, based on the fact that I love them without their deserving. That's why Jesus said, I came not for the righteous. I didn't come for plan A. I came only for sinners who have failed plan A and who are looking forward to plan B. Do you all understand that? Do you understand it's a concept? It's ruining your mind. Because the natural mind believes that plan A is still God's plan. And if so, then God will be an angry judge to everyone who has made one flaw. If you're just off in one part, you have broken the law. One bottle cap, that's enough to break the law. Because if you broke the law, that showed you did not love the one who gave that law to you. So under the law, no man has ever kept God happy. No one has ever pleased God. His will has been broken. There's no way that the Father could be pleased with you under the law. But God never wanted you to keep the law. He wanted you just to be his son, to be his daughter. Your children are not perfect. Your husband, your wife, is not perfect. And don't put a law on them because God didn't. Let your wife go. Let your children go. Let your husband go. Tell him, you know, honey, though you're unreliable, though you've been a deceiver and a liar, though you're not at all the man I married, thinking I was marrying someone who would love me and care for me. Even though that's all true, you are the greatest. I just want you to know I love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, and there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. Do you see how you are loving someone who does not deserve your love? That's God. You now understand why no human being can do what I just said unless God teach you. We love because he first loved us. You cannot love what I just said under plan B. Nobody naturally goes for plan B. We all expect people to do right. And we get mad when they do wrong. The mechanic, you know, he said he was going to do something and he didn't do it. He put in another kind of part, didn't put any part at all or whatever, and he cheated me. And we get angry at people who don't keep their word. We get angry at people that we marry that don't really love us with all their heart. That isn't right. It's like, well, why'd you marry me then? We had this discussion. Well, why did you marry me? I don't know. Well, you did wrong then. You shouldn't have married me. Now you've ruined two lives. I could have found an Oriental woman. Maria, I wish Craig hadn't married you. I wish I'd have married you. Because the Oriental women never speak up or anything, right? I mean... Oh, how do we have that idea? Craig, is she the perfect wife?
Perfect.
Oh, Lord. You have to love people that do not deserve it. Don't look for someone that deserves it. Like, well, I'm withholding my love from you because you don't deserve it. No. You only give love to those that don't deserve it. I'm going to say it again. You only give love to those who don't deserve it. Love means nothing if it's given to someone who deserves it. It's only given by God to those that don't deserve it, B. Nobody under A got the love of God. Jesus didn't get it because he obeyed God. He did it because he voluntarily loved his Father without obedience. He didn't have to obey. He just did it because he learned obedience through what he suffered. He just said, Lord, I just want to do anything that pleases you. It isn't because of the law and I'm afraid of punishment. It's just I want to please you. Only Jesus did that. Jesus is unique. You are not unique. You are common, like everyone else. The only way you can be holy before God is plan B. You don't have the capacity. You don't have the desire. You don't have the ability. You don't have the wisdom. You don't have the strength. You don't have anything to make a plan A. You will never, ever be a good wife. Say it. I am a bad wife. Yeah, I heard that subdued. I feel like that was a subdued, just a low, you know.
Say it again.
I'm a bad wife. Okay, we'll do it one more time. I was a bad wife.
I was a bad wife.
And I intend to stay that way.
Now,
love me unconditionally as I am. And husbands, you were a bad wife.
You were a bad wife.
But I love you unconditionally. And I don't want you to change. And I don't want you to be what I want you to be. I want you to be what you are. Bitter. Judgmental. Etc. Now, you see how it works? It's not at all what you think. You have been brainwashed. Now, I want to read the scripture because you might think what I'm teaching is out of line with what other churches are teaching. So I want to read you the scripture so that you can see that the other churches are out of line. Now, listen carefully. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, our forefather, our ancestor, what did he find? For if Abraham were justified by works, then he would have something to brag about, but not before God. He could not brag on his works before God. God will not allow anybody here, anybody, to brag before God because you're better than somebody else. You're higher than somebody else. You've kept the law. You've done good. No bragging. For what saith the scripture? Verse 3. Holy was because he didn't do plan A. It was reckoned to him under plan B, imputed to him, though he didn't do it. The only way you can have this is you must first fail here. Because who is God? Jesus revealed the truth about God that neither the Jews nor the pagans have ever understood. This has been a mystery. that God justifies only the ungodly. You cannot be justified if you're godly. The only reason he came is so that you would fail here, humble yourself and say, God, I didn't do anything you said. I did everything you said not to do. I failed miserably. I don't have one good thing. There's no good thing dwells in me. Therefore, impute to me righteousness, because I will trust in Jesus to love me and to bless me, not only in the world to come, but in this world as well. Bless me because I do not deserve it. I tell you, this would save you all kinds of worry, care, judgmental, broken relationships, everything else, if you just get a hold of this, that you deserve nothing, and that's exactly where God wants you to be. He will only love you if you don't deserve his love. He will only love you, because love is a free gift. All God's ever wanted to do is give this free gift right here. This is all God's ever wanted to do, is give you a free gift. He never wanted you to earn a wage. He never wanted to be obligated by you. You cannot obligate God by your works. So Abraham, verse 3, was justified. It was counted to him for righteousness, dikaios. Now to him that worketh, to anyone that does plan A, is a reward. But it's not reckoned of grace, but it's of debt. In other words, God would owe you. If you did plan A, then he would owe you something. He'd be indebted to you. But to him that worketh not, if you don't do plan A, if you don't obey the Lord, if you don't do what he says, if you fail, but believe on him, but to him that worketh not, who doesn't do any of the works, but only believes on him, him, who is the him? The one that justifies, makes right, the ungodly, asebia, the ungodly. His faith, then, is counted for righteousness, verse 5. So, faith is the righteousness that makes you declared by God holy, totally reckoned to you, even though it wasn't in your account. God adds up the account, and he says, under your accounting right here, you owe, you owe, you owe. You didn't do it, you didn't do it, you didn't do it. You did all wrong. Now, under that accounting system, God decides not to value all this. The fact that you now owe $1 billion to him, he decides to discount that and to count what Jesus did for you, that you believe on him, and he counts all of these pluses and values your faith in Jesus, not your faith in yourself. That's all God ever wanted. He never wanted you to establish your own righteousness. Never wanted you to say, you know, I did everything right in this marriage. I did everything right in this world. I did everything right. You know, it's like the little kid that comes home in first grade and says, Mom, I was good today. No one else was. The other kids were all bad. I didn't do a thing. Oh, man. That little kid, here's the star. Look at the star. The teacher gave me this. Oh, man. That is a good kid. But you know what? That will, if that child stays childish like that under the law, thinking they did right, they will be confused when they grow up. You cannot grow up that way to think, Mom, I didn't do anything wrong. You're always doing wrong. You do wrong all the time. But don't lecture a little child, not until they're 11 or 12. It's when they're 11 or 12 when that chemistry starts to work inside of them. All of a sudden they notice boys and girls, and the guys start wearing socks that match. You know there's something wrong. And the girls are covering up the pimples. You know there's something wrong. That at that age, they know they've done wrong. They know they deliberately do wrong. They know that when you say no mascara, as soon as they get outside, they put that on to please the other kids at school. They don't care about their parents. They care about getting along with their world, their people. And they believe their parents are strict and old-fashioned, putting some law on you. My kids still say that to the day. Dad, you are so strict. But I never meant it. See, what you don't understand until you get older is I did that only so that you'd fail, so that I could show you mercy and love you, and then I don't even help. I don't even explain to them what I did. Just Suddenly it occurs to him later on, Dad's always loved me, no matter what. That is an amazing thing. How many of you husbands understand what I'm saying? Just the men, you guys. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of times you'll be vilified and you're actually a good guy. I noticed I didn't get a lot of takers on that, but that's all right. You know, sometimes a guy who's really a scoundrel, basically, does a nice thing. I mean, it's like you've underestimated me. I know I did about 50 things wrong, but what about the two? That's me. I'm always doing that around the house. Look right there! Yeah, but Peggy has a list, you know, going all the way back when we first started dating. Of all the times that I failed. But I got my one or two. Yeah, but look right here. I took you out tonight. Yeah, but you brought us home an hour early. Oh. Man, I can never please you. Peggy's impossible to please. I don't care how much time I spend with her. The other day, we spent all day the 4th of July, then all half a day on the 5th of July, and then I was ready to go and have fun. I just said that. Now, but Peggy said, I said, the Holy Spirit's telling me right now I need to go and visit so-and-so. Would you like to go along? I would like you to go along. No. I mean, the Holy Spirit. He's told me I'm to go and you, now, 1 o'clock. It was 1 o'clock on the 5th. No. I want to talk. We had all day yesterday and half of today. You had all of my attention and time. I need a breathing space. I didn't say that. No. Peggy, are you going to go against the Holy Spirit? He told me, as is man of God, to go. I don't want to disobey the Lord. I don't want to listen to you. I want to obey the Lord. What do you say? No. Oh. Well, okay. Holy Spirit, did you hear that? Okay. If anything wrong goes, it's her fault. Okay, so we stayed and talked for 3 more hours. It was great. She was right on. Perfect. Then I decided, okay, Peg, now can we go? I paid up. Spent all this time, almost 2 whole days. Never done that in my life. So she said, okay, we can go. Okay, so we get in the car. It's now 4:15, and the storm comes from the Northeast Mall. That's where it started, I think. And we looked off to the, and I mean, it's a huge storm. Remember that on the 5th of July, the day after. A huge storm, and it was black, dark clouds. And over here it was bright, shiny in the west. But it was really dark. I said, I wonder if this is God. I think we should have gone at 1. So I said to the Holy Spirit, I said, well, if this is the case that you want me to go, because right now this storm could hit us any second now. And in a few minutes it did. Should we turn around or should we keep going? Is this the better timing and that Peggy heard the Lord? And I only heard to get ready, but that meant after 3 hours. If so, then let it be better than had I gone at 1 o'clock. Let it be, and I told what it was. Let it be that case. And sure enough, we went through this huge storm. I mean, it was just pouring down. Trucks would drive by, and you'd just be flooded out, and you couldn't see, and all of a sudden you couldn't see anything. It was terrible. And then when we got to the house, just as we turned the corner, it all stopped. Completely stopped. And wow, it was like a miracle. And then that situation that I said to God about, if this is you, let it be that this takes place. And it exactly happened, just like that. And we stayed with that family for 7 hours. And it was total healing. It was total, I mean, it was miraculous. So it was God, but it wasn't God at 1 o'clock. It was God at 4:30 after Peggy was done. You understand? So Peggy got a day and a half plus an extra 3 hours out of me. I mean, that was really a sacrifice on my part. You all see how evil we are. You see how evil we are. But God never meant us to keep the law. He knows what lawbreakers we are. The amazing thing is that he could actually get his work done through us. What's amazing is that he not only loves us and forgives us, but gives us his Holy Spirit and still uses us, even though we mess up under plan A. You understand? Now, God wants you to learn something. He wants you not to obey him. He wants you to believe on him. Don't worry about obedience. Obedience will grow out of faith. But now you'll be good for nothing. Say it. I want to be good for nothing. See, originally you wanted to be good for something. Now you can be good for nothing. You're not going to be good for something. You're not good for something. You have no value. Under plan A, you deserve death. The wages of sin, death. Even one sin, you fell short. You fell short of the glory of God. Jesus said, you must be perfect. You must be perfect, even as the Heavenly Father is perfect. I'm not. So if you just mess up in one point, you might as well mess up the whole law. It's kind of a Pentecostal understanding. Did you know that? I mean, if you're going to be a Pentecostal and you grow up in the Pentecostal church and you smoke one cigarette, you might as well, you know, commit adultery. Because it's over. You have ruined. You no longer can stand with your head lifted high. You have nothing to boast in. So just, you know, go ahead. You ruin it. Just ruin it really good. As a Pentecostal and a Catholic understanding, too. Because you're out of a state of grace right now. So, hey, you know, if I'm going to have to be in the booth anyway, might as well really rack some up and go in there and have a good one and get it all taken care of at once. Does anybody here have that kind of thinking? This is really demonic thinking, but it shows our heart. You can bend good behavior, and then all of a sudden, a bad will come out. You know, I used to find Peggy, who didn't do a lot of sinning, and I'm sorry to have to speak on Peggy, but she's done these mistakes. I know you enjoy it very much. But anyway, I could never figure out what she's done wrong, but she always could see what I'd done wrong, and I agreed. But I caught her one night. Now, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be surprised. She was in the kitchen eating ice cream after I'd gone to bed. Because she didn't let me know that she was doing that. She was under my lordship. So she was sneaking. See, that wasn't clean. See, that was a sin, and I got her on that one. Now, that was a cause for divorce. Not only that. Not only that. I mean, I have another one. She wouldn't put out the light switches. When she walks through the room, I told her, you know, put out those light switches, honey. That is wrong just to waste electricity like that. Just click that thing off. I showed her how you do it. Push it down. I mean, I have a lot of reasons to divorce. Plenty. No, you see, God knows we're not made for the law. Laws don't work with people. Pets, yes. People, no. You see, if you want something to obey you, get yourself a pet, not a cat. Not a cat. You ever tried to herd cats? You know, they just... But if you want to, you know, like you get a dog, you know, something that will do the law, you know. Every time, we had a dog once. Margaret wanted a dog. And every time I'd drive in the driveway, the dog would wag his tail and start barking. Every time. It was incredible. He was never depressed. I mean, every time I'd come over, and he'd shake and wee and stuff. He was so excited to see me. I'm telling you, dogs are dependable. They're a man's best friend. And that dog, every time, wag his tail, it's so excited to see me. Yahoo! He's home! You know, that's a good thing. Now, let's finish the scripture, because it's very powerful how it ends up. Abraham was a believer, and that was counted for righteousness. He was not a worker who wanted a wage. Verse 6, even as King David also describes the blessedness of the man, the happiness of the man, unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Isn't that amazing? God imputes righteousness without works. This is what David said. Happy is the man who is imputed to be righteous, even though he wasn't. Saying, happy are all of those whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Wow. You see that? God is not wanting you to keep the law. He does not want you to keep the law. Please set your mate free. Set your neighbor free. Set George Bush free. Set anybody free that you have a law over, that you're expecting something from them. They made some kind of contract. Set them free. I'm not talking about business now. I'm talking about deep, intimate relationships where you have some expectation for someone to be decent or virtuous or kind. I'm not talking about buying a shirt. I'm talking about something intimate. Now, let those people go. Love them. Be happy around them who have done you in. Remember the Bible says that? It says, do good to them that harm you, that speak evil of you. Bless them. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that, it's crazy. That's crazy. Nobody can do that in the flesh unless you're a plan B-er. That is the nature of Christianity. I don't care if you do it or not. I just want you to hear it. I don't care if you do it. I just want you to hear it. Plan A is never God's plan. Plan B is always God's plan. God has always wanted you to humble yourself and just come and say, God, I didn't do anything you said. I did everything you said not to do. Everything. I did nothing. Now, I want you to forgive me because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe on Him. I'm putting all my trust in Him. And I know I'm righteous now. I know that in your sight, I'm not only going to receive heaven, my eternal blessing, but I'm going to be blessed every day of my life. Thank you, Jesus. That is a powerful statement. Now, if that's true of God toward you, let it be true of you toward your neighbor. That would be a sign. You don't have to do this. Not under the law. There's no law in plan B. That's just something you get to do. It's a privilege to love Peggy and to honor her, especially when she doesn't deserve it. Especially when she's done something wrong. Now, Peggy's actually a really great, great, great wife. She's almost immaculate, impeccable. And I've got a little list, but it's kind of small. The light switch thing, stuff like that. But deep down, she's wicked. She's nasty, Peggy.
Amen.
She can fight for herself. She's not the nice person that you're thinking of. She can be like a snake. Or like they said in Gone with the Wind, like a spider. She's like a spider sometimes. Anyway, the point is, she's actually a perfect wife, a beautiful wife, a wonderful wife. And in my eyes, I couldn't have anything better. But regardless, I'm going to love her not because she's good, not because she deserves it, not because she's lovable, but I love her because she's not. Are you hearing me? And I just tell her that, Peg, you can do anything you want to do. You can say anything you want to say. You can neglect me all you want. I will still treat you the same. I love you. I'm not going to leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm here to stay, and I don't care what you do and how mean you are and how I don't care how things are. You're the best. And I will say it, and I will mean it, and I will act on it. Do you understand? That is a good marriage. It's not based on the illusion of, well, you have to be good, and I'll try to be good. It's not based on that silly stuff. We don't have a plan A marriage. We have a plan B marriage. How many in this room have a plan B marriage? And that's the only one to have. You don't love people because they deserve it. You love people because they don't deserve it. Just like God. Now, isn't that interesting that God calls that righteous? When you give it away for free, not because you have to, not because you go to hell, you just give, not because you get a reward, you just do it because that's who you are. You're a son. You're related to God. And that's all God wants to say is, all I've ever wanted is a relationship with you. I don't want your performance. I don't care about your performance. I'll do the performing. I'll pay for the car. I'll do the forgiving and the helping and everything. I want all the glory. I want you, my wife, you, my children, you, my church, you, my friends. I want you to get all the blessing. Why? Because I've got everything from God. I am so blessed beyond measure from God that I have nothing to do with my life except give away all the things God has given for free. Now you don't have to pay me. You can actually despise me, hate me, misunderstand me, and abuse me. And it's okay. I like it. I actually enjoy that. And some of you have been very good. Very good. I'm telling you, some of you have been just wonderful in that department. I love that I've offended some of you. I've just offended you. I don't know how that happens, because Peggy, I know, understands that, but I thought some of you would be more grateful. But you know what? Isn't it exciting to be with people that are offended at you, misunderstand you, abuse you, use you, and then your response is, God bless you. Because God never treated me that way. I don't care. I'm going to love you despite all that you think and say and do. That's the way God did it. Can you do that? Yes, you can. Paul, you can do that in your marriage. Debbie doesn't have to do what you say. I don't know, maybe she does. Do you? Usually not. Sometimes, half the time. Half the time. Okay. So he has to be merciful half the time. They're always trick questions. Look, here's the whole deal. Everything in the heart of God is that God alone is love. And God loves you just as you are. He doesn't care that you've broken all his laws. He doesn't care that you're not like him. He wants you to get the blessing anyway. It's always been in his heart. It's his heart, not his head. It's his heart that matters. And when he cogitates in his head, it's according to his heart. When he reckons, when he imputes, he's not thinking of what you deserved or what you did or how you earned something. He's thinking how you didn't do any of that, but nevertheless, he wants you because you belong to him. He made you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to fill you, bless you, protect you, honor you, and give you everything. And give you the kingdom. Nothing will be withheld from you. All he's ever wanted is for you to be righteous and holy. Plan B. Please just admit to God, God, I've never done plan A. I can't do plan A. If any A comes out, it'll be from plan B. It'd be a reflection of plan B. And it just came out. I don't believe, I'm not telling you sin. I'm telling you, you do. I'm not saying sin some more. You'll do it anyway. I don't need to encourage you to sin. So some say, are you telling us to sin? No. That is not it. Plan A is still good. It's just not good for you. It's only good for Jesus. Jesus is the only one that ever obeyed the Father. And that's why he suffered. But he did it for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. Did it all for you. He loves you so much. Please get a hold of the love of God. If Abraham had done a good work, he would not be able to obligate God. Abraham did many good works. You all do good works. They don't count before God. The only good work he wants, believe on Jesus Christ. That's the only work he wants, is take a free gift. Don't earn it. Don't put other people under the law. Release everybody. Let's just take our hands right now and release everybody. Just release them. Just, you know, no more parent, mother, father, brother, sister, first wife, second husband, you know, no more of that. Let them all go. Some of you people are mean as snakes. You're just like Peggy. You remind me of Peggy. And mean. You know, you'll come down and find that bottle cap. Make sure, you know. No. Forgive, forget. Just forget those things that lie behind. God has more blessing for you. I tell you, you ought to look like God's child. God's children are all plan B people. They've all failed. They've all messed up. But they are totally thankful and grateful for nothing. Not because they're virtuous and they're kind and they're loving, but because they're not. And yet God has loved them as they are. And now he wants to forgive you and love you as you are. You don't deserve his love. You don't deserve my love. I don't deserve your love. That's what's amazing grace. That's what God wants. Amazing grace. I don't know why I'm speaking more to this group over here. I think this is a much needier group. You guys are okay over here. Okay. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. I pray that this message was not my message. I know it wasn't. I know it was Holy Spirit-led, birthed message. I know that at 2 o'clock this morning you told me, preach this message. I pray, Lord, that I was faithful, but even if I wasn't, Lord God, blind them to what they saw. Close up their ears to what they heard, so that all that they see is your love and all that they hear is your truth. Lord God, let me not get in the way. Easy for me to do. Easy for me to butt myself in and take some pride, some boast, some glory. I thank you, Lord God, that that is not appropriate. But thank God, though I failed in plan A, I will succeed in plan B, because plan B is plan A. It was always your heart, always your will. God bless this people, Lord God. Give them blessing. Please save the marriages, save the relationships, save the children, save the parents, save the neighbor. Cause hope to arise again. Let us love people that do not earn it. Let us not love people who deserve our love, but give it to them freely, even though they abuse it. Let us not count that. Let us not reckon that to their account. Let us not any longer judge one another as unworthy, but rather let us lift them up and exalt them because of your love to us and your love through us to them. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's have one testimony.